Thanks for coming out to the Ira Kaufman podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz from JoeBucksFan.com. Ira and I recorded this a little while ago, not too long ago, a nice discussion on Bucks free agency. And so you're going to enjoy that here in just a moment. Just want to thank everybody for taking on the podcast. You can catch it at JoeBucksFan.com every Tuesday and Thursday, or you just head to iTunes. You can subscribe. It's free and you get an alert and an automatic download to your phone if you want to. That's where loads and loads and thousands of people listen to the podcast. You've also got podbean.com. You can set up the same deal there, and Podbean's real nice to listen to on a desktop or laptop. So we appreciate all the great support for Ira's podcast. Of course, it's presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. We love them as well. You want to start your car shopping search, edmorsecadillactampa.com and edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. It's not just Cadillac. Fantastic pre-owned selection, and Morse has more savings, more selection, more for your trade, more customer benefits, more peace of mind. Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon and Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. All the great March offers are on their website. You really want to start there. It's great support for Ira, great support for a local company. Those are your only Tampa, Hillsborough County Cadillac dealerships. That's where you got to go. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com and EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. It's another edition of the Ira Kaufman podcast, and it's heating up, Ira. March Madness NFL style is here. Enough of this college basketball stuff. Free agency rings the bell, moves the needle. It is it in the NFL. You may not have realized that at the newspaper, but that's where the clicks are. That's where the action is. That's where the passion of fans in every city lies. Especially in an era, Ira, where salary cap's going up every single year. It's going up another $11 or $12 million this year from the previous year. I think Mike Florio's written many times, it's up about 37% in the last 4 or 5 years. Crazy.
Crazy.
Crazy stuff.
But that's why our listeners, Steve, I think it's important to realize, yeah, the Bucks have a bundle of cash to spend, but they're not the only ones that do, number one. And number two, some of these guys that we've been talking about that are key targets, potential targets, also have a lot of allure for other teams. A lot of allure. Whether it's DeSean Jackson, Jeffrey, sure, Garcon, Campbell, Poe. Other teams are going to be interested, Steve, and other teams bring their own assets to the table. It's not just money. But as you said, money does tend to rule the day a lot of times. So, you know, don't be shocked if the Bucks don't come away with everybody on their wish list. That's all I'm saying.
No, and look, we're realists. We've been around the game a while. They have a long wish list. It's just a tiered wish list. You know, who's number two on the list, four on the list? That's the stuff we'll never find out. But there is a wish list. They are going to be new Buccaneers here by the end of this week. It's going to be exciting because, hey, why not? You know, whoever it is will represent an upgrade.
And if Jason Light wants those nugget $5 to $8 million football players, guess what, Steve? 31 other teams are also looking for those guys.
Yeah,
that's what you're looking for, value.
There's competition for everybody, for everything. Light hit it last year, and Mecko Grimes was open last year saying that there were, I think, 8 to 12 teams calling about Brent Grimes last year. So let's even say there were six, and she claims, including the Dolphins, who were ready to re-sign him. That's competing against six teams, and they most likely came here, one, because the money was excellent. There were incentives in his contract that he hit, which the Tampa Bay Times reported, and they got to stay in Florida and all those little intangibles. They knew Mike Smith. They trusted Mike Smith. So, hey, perfect fit, and there you go. So that's sort of how it works sometimes. We'll see how that shakes out for the Bucks.
I think, Steve, is it fair to say that Jason Light has shown steady progress himself on the free agent front from the debacle of 2014? Fair to say that? He's learned a few lessons from that year.
I'm sure he's learned lessons. You know, honestly, Ira, to me, it's old news already. It's old news. I don't really care. I mean, this is this year right now. Let's see what he does. Let's see how these guys play. There's a lot of luck involved. Let's say Robert Ayers' high ankle sprain was that much worse and he never came back. Does that make Jason Light an idiot because he signed Robert Ayers?
What I meant primarily was character issues.
Yeah.
You know, because
here comes the Anthony Collins.
I always go back to Anthony Collins. He's out of football. See, I just can't get over that. The man's out of football. Teams are, you know, hungry for tackles. The guy could play guard in a pinch.
He didn't want to play.
You know, And he doesn't have a job. Nobody wants
this
guy.
He doesn't need a job, all right? He got $6 million from the Bucks. What does he need a job?
And he was a bad guy, too. You know, besides can't play, bad guy. Bad combination. How he ever became a Buck is one of the great mysteries.
Well, but you sure. Jason Light has made better decisions on the free agents. Last year was a good score. The previous year, you know, they went with the, I already know, Lovie Smith's defense crew of Chris Conte, of Henry Melton, of Bruce Carter. I'm not going to say that was a good class. It didn't work out. See, you're bringing
See,
me
I'm,
angst.
I'm giving you agita.
You're bringing me angst.
You got agita right
I got angst. Agita, whatever you want to call it. it's not good. But it got a lot better last year. Obviously, the draft in 2015 was a home run out of the park with the four studs last year. Seems like it might be okay. We don't know yet, though. That's how the draft goes. But so be it.
How important, Steve, how important is it to hit hit solidly in free agency, and then you can take the best player available in the draft, so to speak? They always say that, but if you can fill some holes in free agency, that goes a long way towards being able to do that and take the best guy at number 19.
Well, to me, Ira, you know, the whole best of player available is really just a bunch of hooey. Teams draft for need in the first round. Some GMs like to say, well, it's where best available meets need, or it's they all play this game. What I think what happens in the draft is if you hit in free agency and you have good depth on your roster, when you get to the third round, you're not looking for a starter. You can legitimately get best player available because you don't have 700 holes.
And
on
then
your team.
You groom the guy.
Right.
That's what worked right. for the Bucks, Steve, in the late 90s.
Absolutely.
That's the way they did it. Rondae Barber didn't start year one.
Right, because they didn't have a million holes where they were, you know, gosh, I hope we get a starter in the third round.
Brian Kelly didn't start year one, right. Steve, but when they put him in, he was ready.
Yeah, and Barrett Rude, who had a lot of good years here, he didn't start right away. It was a second or third round pick. I think it was late second round. But he had time to work his way in, and that's the situation you want to get into. So, you know, if you hit with a Brent Grimes and you hit with a Robert Ayers, you have time to groom cornerback. If the Bucks take a third round cornerback this year, they don't have to throw him into the fire right away. So it's a nice thing. And they got their fourth-round cornerback last year in Ryan Smith. Can he play? We don't know. We'll find out. But I wanted to hit you with this, Iris, since it's all free agency this week. So exciting. Alshon Jeffrey, when he was made known last week that the Bears were not going to franchise him again and that he would hit the market, Ian Rappaport of NFL Network threw out there that Jeffrey could be looking at $17 million a season. This is for a guy who's only had two good years. He's had some hamstring issues. He was suspended last year for four games. $17 million
a year. When did this guy morph into Julio Jones, Steve, and Antonio Brown? Now, come on. He's had some big years in the NFL. His resume is not overly consistent. He's had some injuries. But at his peak, he's a big-time player, Steve, at his peak. $17 million, that's outrageous. I know everybody's flush. Everybody's got a big money to spend, but you got to spend it wisely, Steve. And $17 million, that's not a good value for Jeffrey.
Well, do you think there's even remotely a wide receiver on the market? And let's say a DeSean Jackson, who seems to be the sexy name for the Bucks, is he worth $17 million if that's the market? Do you do that? Do you go there?
I might look at Garcon in that case, if he's available. Polished route runner. I know you love that word, that phrase.
Forget the names, the money.
I don't think Garcon is demanding that kind of money. I'll go back to Ted Ginn. Again, not as my number two.
Sure.
But as a value number four. The money's crazy, Steve. And, you know, as much as the Bucks have to spend, and it's tough for fans to grasp this, and you don't want to hear it, but that money is allocated over a period of time, and you don't want to hear about, you know, existing players and the Mike Evans of the world and the Winstons, who's certainly going to command a lot of money, and down the line, the Quan Alexanders. You don't want to hear it, Steve, but it's a fact, and that's what Greenberg does. Yeah, you know, Mike Greenberg earns his keep over there at One Buck Place. You don't care what Greenberg does, but I'm telling you that the man's at a blackboard every day updating it in front of Jason Light. With a felt tip marker and saying this is where we're going to be in 3 years, and that's what good football teams do, Steve. They plan ahead. You want to spend all $68 million in a land rush on March 9th.
I just think it's a huge misnomer to start worrying about guys and what you have to pay them later. I'm not saying I'll go all drunken sailor, But I think the Bucks would be flat out almost irresponsible to start worrying about, well, we have to, we're going
to
have to
take care of Mike Evans.
You know, we might have to fork over big contracts for Ali Marpet and Donovan Smith in 2 years. You get your 9-7 football team. 9-7. Not everybody stays healthy. Not everybody continues at the same trajectory in their career. You can't sit around and worry about, well, what's it going to look like in 3 years from now? Now, Jameis, I'll give you, because you're going to have to pay him. You might have to pay him $30 million a year. He's the franchise quarterback. If he has a bad year or two, you're still going to stick with him because you don't want to be stuck in one of these teams in the abyss of no QB.
And right now, you're not paying him.
So you allocate for Jameis if you want to do that. But these other guys, come on. In 2 years, Ira, this is what, 2017? After 2018, you don't even owe a guaranteed nickel to Gerald McCoy anymore.
You're right. You're right. You're going to get rid of. You're going to get rid of some money too.
And the salary cap keeps going up and up and up and up. Darrell Revis's 1 year deal, that if he had stayed with the Bucks, $16 million a year, that Dominic did, doesn't even sound that crazy anymore.
Ayers, you know, McDonald won't be here. Ayers won't be here. You know, down the line. You're right.
It always changes. The Bucks have a very short window.
DeMar Dotson won't be here.
I want to get your take on this as we dig deeper in the Ira Kaufman podcast presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. My favorite websites, EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com, EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. I know they're in your favorites, Ira. You're always clicking around, looking at those cars that you're going to get soon. And here's the thing, Ira. Lee and I have talked about windows for winning a Super Bowl. I'm going to throw this at you. Brent Grimes, unrealistic to think he's successful as a Buccaneer for more than two seasons, 17 and 18.
Okay. I think that's about right. Yes.
Robert Ayers, unrealistic to think he's successful as a Buccaneer for more than two seasons. Gerald McCoy, I'm going to say unrealistic to think he's a superstar for more than two seasons. He's 29 this year. He's 30 next year. After that, 10 years in the league as a D tackle, rare. Levante David is in his prime right now. Jameis Winston, inexpensive. He'll only be inexpensive for a couple more years. Mike Evans, you can still have him for a couple more years.
Not paying for a running back right now.
If you draft a running back, you don't have to pay a running back big money for years. Is this a two-year window to just let's go? Let's go get this thing while while the iron is hot. Is that the mindset?
You make a nice, compelling case, Steve. You should have been a lawyer in another life. I think you probably are. Look, 9-7, very, very close to being in the dance. And then you don't know what's going to happen if Winston takes a step up, which there's a lot of room for Winston to improve himself, Steve. That could go a long way to produce another win or two. You're not wrong in terms of these windows. Those five-year plans are over. You're absolutely right.
History.
You never want to hear about it again. We heard about it in 09. We didn't like it back then. That's way in the rearview mirror. I don't even think the Glazers would ever say that at this point. They're hungry. They want it. And we're about to find out how much they want it because in terms of a prominent free agent, Steve, not the $5 million guy, but a prominent guy, the Glazers are going to be involved. The Glazers are going to be involved. Jason Light talks to these guys on a daily basis. Brian's in the building. There's more than Jason Light and Cutter going into these decisions. Now, in terms of taking a linebacker out of Colorado in the third round, you know, nobody's asking Ed Glazer, what do you think? And you understand that. Because Ed Glazer's buying another mansion in Southern California. But they are involved. And I've been told by some people in the know, they're more involved than you think they are. Certainly in terms of a premier free agent, they're going to have to weigh in. And they tend to ask the right questions.
I'm glad you brought up the Glazer involvement because I'm going to take it back to really what I was talking about. As far as the organizational philosophy, when you look at a window to succeed, a two-year window, let's say, let's call it that, based on the parameters I just put out there. As far as an organizational philosophy as to how to approach free agency, how to approach a 9-7 football team that seems ready to win. Who sets the philosophy? Is it Cutter saying, hey, we need, I think we're better off grooming some guys and playing a little more conservative? Is it Light who says, I'm getting with Greenberg, who you just referenced, and I'm looking more of a 2-year plan internally or 3-year plan? Or is it Glazers who says, guys, let's put the pedal to the metal. I won't hold it against you. Let's go for it. Who sets the organizational philosophy?
I think it's the guys that sign the checks. I've always thought that. In 09, you know, they saw the road ended. The road ended after 08 in their mind. And that's why Derek Brooks was gone. And so was Warwick Dunn. And so was Ike Hilliard. And end of the road, gentlemen. We got to start anew.
Sure.
And then, of course, you know, John Gruden used to complain during his years that they were very light in free agency, weren't pursuing free agents. And that comes from the top. I got to think they're in a little bit of an attack mode. I do. I think they...
There's your headline.
I think they taste it. I think they taste it. They see it. They're not coming off 6-10. Certainly not coming off 2-14. No reason to think they're going to take a step back. If they do, you and I are having a total different conversation this time a year from now, because some jobs might be in jeopardy. And everybody at One Buck knows that. Keep it on the right track. They're close. They're right there. The right moves in March, in and of itself, could go a long way with putting them where they want to be.
And as far as the NFL being a copycat league, I'll throw two things at you. The Giants, big winners in free agency last year. Overwhelming home run hitters in free agency. Revamped the team. Olivier Vernon, they paid a fortune, and they love him up there. Three down, defensive end.
Janoris Jenkins was a nice pick.
Huge signing. I mean, they hit the ball out of the park. And they, won 11 games, and we're in the playoffs. Does that affect the Glazer line of thinking?
Well,
when you talk about attack mode.
That defense certainly resurrected itself until they met Aaron Rodgers. And you know, as happens, they had a bad day. You could also look at the Falcons, Steve, closer to home.
That's where I was
going
next.
Big offseason. Big offseason. And I've been very critical of Atlanta's draft picks with Dimitroff. I thought he dropped the ball for Mike Smith those last few years for Mike Smith. He dropped the ball. Very dynamic offseason for the Falcons. Free agency. Draft, they easily could have won Executive of the Year honors. I was thinking about that when I voted on that AP thing. I didn't know who to give it to. Do I give it to Dimitrov or do I give it to Pioli? Because I think Pioli's presence really helped them. So look what a big offseason did for the Falcons, too.
Right. So, okay, so we look at the Falcons. Does that affect attack mode from the Glazers? Do they look at that as, you know, we're in the preeminent division in the NFL.
We got a franchise quarterback like they do.
NFC South has produced the last two Super Bowl teams. Drew Brees isn't slowing down. That's the number one offense. Does this affect attack mode? Does this affect the mindset?
Yeah, because the Panthers are going to rebound. We all know that. They're too good. You know, you can't lose a Luke Kuechly. Now they were having a bad year before Kuechly got hurt. But he's the heart and soul of that team, with all due respect to Cam Newton. Kuechly is the heartbeat of that team.
And to go back to your point from before, why are they not panicking in Carolina? Because they have a franchise quarterback. That's why there's no panic there.
Absolutely. And they're going to get a running back and resurrect that pound and ground and a defense that forces a lot of takeaways and did till last year. So I know what you're saying. The Glazers do look around this league. They see what's going on. You don't look at New England because they're a whole separate entity.
You can't compare.
Yeah, but Falcons right in your own division. Look, a couple of smart draft picks. Keanu Neal, outstanding pick. Safety, hard hitter, speed, toughness. That linebacker, he fit in like a glove from LSU.
And that was their goal.
Inject the defense
with speed, use the turf to your advantage, and that's Dan Quinn's mindset.
In free agency on the offensive side of the ball.
Yep.
Right?
Sure.
Sanu. You've been talking about him. Gabriel.
Mac.
Fit in like a glove. We have not talked about Nick Mangold, Steve. I tweeted early on, I believe less than an hour after he was released, that that would not be a bad way for the Bucks to kick off free agency. At least do your due diligence on Mangold. Now I understand he's got some physical issues that they're concerned about. He might have flunked the physical with the Jets.
So, you know how that goes in the NFL, that a failed physical isn't always a failed physical. There was a running joke surrounding Logan Mankins that he never would pass a physical.
I want to look at Nick Mangold, Steve, for this football team. Do you dismiss him out of hand?
No, not at all. Not at all. Why would you not look at him? I mean, if we're going to make the analogy, suppose he is a Mankins type, a guy who can come in here.
Can you get 2 years out of Nick Mangold?
And maybe you can get 2 years like you did with Mankins and bring a lot of leadership and a lot of, I mean, how much can Jameis Winston learn from Mangold? And it is a situation where Joe Hawley is not is with his own knee injury issues that he's had two of the past three seasons. I don't think he's the guy going forward. But there are guys in the draft. It wouldn't shock me if they. I think Mangold's perfect if you draft like forget his name off the top of my head. The center out of Ohio State might be a second round pick. Big dude.
And you don't have to play him right away.
You don't have to play him right away. A lot of interesting animals there. But again, the Bucs have money to spend. You got to spend it on somebody. You can't. There's no reason not to at 9-7 for all the reasons we talked about. So you got to pick your risks.
Look, Steve, we all know that they're going to draft a wide receiver. That's a given. But that doesn't preclude you in any way from getting a veteran wide receiver in free agency. That's what you do. Yeah. Then you double up and you take a guy in the draft. That's what you do.
Absolutely. And you don't know where that guy's going to be in the draft, your wide receiver.
That's right. You're at 19.
You know, third round. You don't know. You got to get him in free agency because you can't risk it on the draft. You need if you come out of this without a wide receiver, I mean, it would be just embarrassing. That's not going to happen. All right, Ira, a couple of things.
The same thing might be true at running back, Steve. You might have to sign a veteran and draft a young running back. That you don't have to shove into the starting lineup. Same thing could happen at running back.
I've said this before, and nobody wants to hear it. We don't know what Dirk Koetter thinks about Peyton Barber, an undrafted guy who got time, who he expressed a lot of good feelings for, who took a ball to the house.
He flashed some potential.
Who, even if you subtract that run, he has had a better average than Doug Martin and flashed some potential. Jaquizz Rodgers played well. Dirk Koetter loves Charles Sims. I mean, I don't think this – I'll say this, Ira. Dirk Koetter, in his history – you'll like this because you love this kind of stuff, Ira. Maurice Jones-Drew, Dirk Koetter coached him. He wasn't a first-round pick. Michael Turner, they almost went to the Super Bowl. He was a fifth-round pick.
Burner Turner.
A fifth-round pick. Devontae Freeman, he was there when Koetter was there when they drafted him. Fourth-round pick. Koetter knows – that you can have a powerful running game without a first-round pick. So why would he want to invest when he knows there's value later? To me, I don't know if that fits Koetter's mindset. Now, he's not in charge of the draft.
But if you don't, Steve, if you don't get a veteran running back in free agency, it amps up the pressure to get a dynamic running back in the draft.
Right.
That's what it does.
It depends how you look at it. Because if they like a running back who's there in the third round, that may just be their guy, just like David Johnson out in Arizona.
What a player.
I mean, the league is littered with these later-round running backs. Again, Cutter's mindset. I don't think Koetter has a problem going into this year with a fourth-round running back that he likes, that they picked, with Jaquizz Rodgers, with Charles Sims healthy, with Peyton Barber. I don't think Koetter would have any issue with that whatsoever, especially since Rodgers can pass block. And,
so it would be a shared workload in that case.
By committee. I don't think it's his first choice, but it's interesting. Last one, Ira, Dontari Poe, as we hit free agency, we know the Chiefs are going to, at least for now, franchise Eric Berry. We'll know for sure by the time this podcast hits. And of course,
Berry's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere.
He's an exalted figure in KC. Yeah, that's just the way it is.
Chiefs can't pay everybody. Bucks definitely have... could really use an upgrade at defensive tackle. We don't know if they'll bring back Akeem Spence for depth. All it would take is one team to think Akeem Spence is a starter.
Poe's a wide body, Steve. He's a big body.
Is he a nose tackle in a 4-3? Do you like him there? Can he slide over and take some snaps from Gerald McCoy as they rotate in? What's his effort like? You're a Chiefs guy, Dontari Poe.
I tell you what, he does draw a lot of attention, Steve. Now, I watched him in the playoffs and... against Pittsburgh, and the last thing I looked, he's still looking for Le'Veon Bell's number. Bell did whatever he wanted. He had 170 yards that day. They never really stopped the Steelers. What happened was Pittsburgh bogged down in the red zone. Otherwise, I think they would have won that game by 20 points. And that game was at Arrowhead on a bitterly cold day that you think would hamper Le'Veon Bell, and it did not. I was not impressed with Mr. Poe that night, but I did notice that Pittsburgh paid a lot of attention to him. Most of the time, he didn't have to get through one guy. So playing next to McCoy, you wouldn't think he would demand that kind of attention because McCoy's usually getting that kind of respect.
Yeah, look, it's another big time quality body, and he's young. I think Poe's 27-ish.
He's got an age advantage on a Calais Campbell. There's no question about it. Now he's not 6'8". I like the height also because, you know, Steve, I'm like you. I'm always looking inside the division. I'm trying to picture Drew Brees throwing over Calais Campbell.
Plus, you always wanted to play in the NBA, so that was always your dream.
If you're gonna hound.
I know you grew up wanting to be the next Dolph Shays.
I was a corner shooter on the streets of Brooklyn, Steve. If it was a windy day, I was no factor. You couldn't slide a piece of paper underneath my vertical leap. I couldn't get off the ground. But if you're going to hound Drew Brees, and you got to play him twice a year, it's from the inside. He don't care about outside pressure. He likes to step up in that pocket. That's where I like that size of Calais Campbell. I'll tell you who else likes the size of Calais Campbell. Mike Smith. When Mike Smith was in Jacksonville, Steve, they had a pretty good defense. And it was anchored by these two monster defensive tackles. They each weighed about 320. I think one guy's name was Stroud, and the other guy might have been Henderson.
I forgot. That's fine.
We're going back a ways.
No, but you're on the money.
And he doesn't have that in Tampa. Akeem Spence, you look at him in the locker room, you say, this guy's a defensive tackle?
Yeah, McDonald's not a tall guy either.
You know,
that's the beauty of this time of year, Ira. The Bucs can go in so many different directions. Everything shapes everything else. And yeah, we're just getting into it. That's what's so exciting.
I think Poe's going to have quite a bit of interest. I don't want to get into a money war for Dontari Poe. Not to say that Campbell isn't also going to have a lot of suitors, Steve, but I think Campbell's the safer bet. I like everything about Campbell, maybe except the price tag.
And to wrap this up, Ira, and of course, thanks to Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. For presenting your podcast, the Bucs will be spending money. There's just a mindset
there. You don't like my strategic, Steve.
No. Yeah, strategic is still spending money. Yes. But you know what? When you're $70 million under the cap like the Bucs are, and they'll be even more if they dump Doug Martin, you know what? If you're going to find a way to add $30 million in free agent payroll, maybe it's in three guys, maybe
it's in four.
That's
what I'm thinking. I think they got to hit three solid home runs here.
We'll see. We'll see where they go, and that's what makes this just so great. But we're going to close it with a weapons for Winston, Ira. We'll talk to you. Next time we talk to you, there will be free agents, likely. Well, we don't
galore,
know for sure.
Galore,
we
Steven.
Don't know, but there should be one or two in the house.
Absolutely.
By that time.
And we will weigh in. Absolutely.
Oh, we'll have so much to say, it won't even be funny. All right, Bucs fans, hang in there. Get some sleep. Have a couple of shots. It's all going down now. Free agency's firing up. Ira is fired up himself. He's got a fresh bottle of Dubonnet for the upcoming days.
Watch a little Hacksaw Ridge before free agency starts. You'll see a real combat going on, and that's what's going to happen with wallets. It's going to be wallet combat, Steve, and it's going to be gory.
All right. We'll talk to you next time, Ira.